Near the source of the Nile River in Uganda, Bujagali Falls creates some of the most spectacular rapids in the world. The spot has become a major tourist destination, but before long, it may be underwater. Uganda has hired a U.S.-based corporation to build a dam at the site, and the World Bank has already agreed to kick in $225 million. The project hopes to bring electricity to thousands of Ugandans, but opponents say it would come at too high of a cost. Judah Smelzer has more.
Stop the folly! Stop the dam at Bujagali!
Protesters who gathered outside the World Bank had a lot on their minds. They were concerned about the environmental impact of the Bujagali Dam and the effect on people who'd be uprooted from their homes. But mostly it came down to two things, economics and information. Graham Saul is with the nonprofit Bank Information Center.
We're working with a number of Ugandan organizations that have expressed a series of concerns about the economic viability of the project, the fact that it puts risks on Ugandan ratepayers, consumers, without divulging the necessary information for them to make an informed decision about the actual consequences of the project.
Opponents of the project say Bujagali is just one example of the World Bank's bad behavior in the developing world. But bank officials, like Uganda Country Coordinator Ron Brigish, argue it's the best way to bring much-needed electricity to Uganda.
Uganda needs power. This is a landlocked country with only 3% of its population having access to power. This is a really very, very low percentage by any measure, and it is a binding constraint on investment and economic growth.
People before profits! People before profits!
But detractors criticize the World Bank for not disclosing more information about the project. Specifically, they want access to the agreement between the AES Corporation, the company that plans to build the dam, and the Ugandan government. Those two parties say the document is a private business contract. But opponents, like Joki Jorage Jehu with the anti-World Bank organization 50 Years is Enough, say Ugandan taxpayers deserve to know how much money their government has committed to spend on the project.
This is about adding more debt to Uganda. So it doesn't matter that Uganda was the first country in 1999 to be a recipient of HPIC debt relief funds, because here you have $215 million more being added to that debt.
That figure reflects a new proposal now being considered by an arm of the World Bank. The bank has already invested $225 million in the project, and now it may throw in an additional $250 million for political risk insurance. Supporters of the project hope the new guarantee will calm the fears of potential partners who've grown skittish because of a recent plunge in the value of AES Corporation stock. Opponents hope the guarantee won't come through and that the project will die as a result. But Graham Saul with the Bank Information Center is not holding his breath.
The project has already taken on a life of its own, a certain momentum, and it's very difficult once a project of this size gets this far in the process for the bank and for the Ugandan government and others to take into consideration Ugandan organizations' concerns and to really suspend and take a brand new look at this project.
Surprisingly, a decision on the insurance proposal has now been postponed indefinitely. But the World Bank says that has nothing to do with the alleged problems with the project. And either way, the bank's Uganda coordinator Ron Brigish says activists have got it wrong when they argue that Ugandan taxpayers will end up paying for Bujagali.
No, it's going to be the Ugandan consumers of electricity who will pay for it, who will consume Bujagali power, who will provide revenues for the sponsor, and the sponsor will then be able to remit that in the form of profit. The Ugandans are contributing perhaps resources domestically, but not financial resources. This is coming from the private sector.
Of course, all that depends on whether Ugandan consumers actually buy Bujagali's power output. And opponents of the project believe the World Bank's predictions about demand for electricity there are far too optimistic. At the request of a number of the project's detractors, the bank ordered its internal investigative arm to take another look at Bujagali. According to the interpretation of project opponents, the findings suggest that the dam would violate several of the bank's own policies. The institution flatly denies that and has promised to hold new consultations with those affected, but it has no intention of pulling out. So the protests continue, and detractors will continue to ask why more information was not made available sooner about a project that will forever alter the landscape of the Nile. For Common Ground, I'm Judith Smelser in Washington.